So through the year, I typically like to include a book study in the midst of the different things I plan for. My goodness, we're going to start cutting some rope. From behind the drums, I could only see some, but yeah, social distancing is not very easy right now. So 94, okay, oh my goodness, because what is it, 102 is our max. So yeah, that's awesome. So we want to be safe. We want to make sure. And I've been very skeptical of things and masks and whatnot. I don't know if I shared with you guys, was it last week or the week before, when I talked with one of my adult students from Taekwondo. Did I share that with you last week? Okay. It's hard to remember what I share with different people from different times. But yeah, she's on the front line, and I kind of got a little bit of a wake-up call there. Between her and then our rep from where we buy our uniforms for the martial arts school here. Her dad died from COVID-related things, and then also we had, this was going to be in the Prairie Quest area, but Tammy's friend passed. Was that this week or last week? Last Sunday. Okay, so this is new news to you guys then, if you didn't receive an email on that. So So our prayers go out to the family, and he was active in his church, is what you said. So so we have the hope of Jesus Christ there, amen. So we're gonna be careful. I have a hard time. I'm glad that I'm playing most weeks because it keeps me from being out there, because I know I would be hugging and shaking hands and making people feel all sorts of uncomfortable. And so it's a good thing. It's a blessing. But I don't want to be unapproachable either since I'm up here. So if you do want to talk, if you have something to share or just have questions, whatnot, after the service, then feel free to just hang out. And when we finish up with our song, if you just kind of sneak down the aisle, you can just sit in the front pew and I can catch up with you if you have some things that you'd like to talk about, some of the things that you might catch on the way out. So anyway, I like to include a book study at least once a year and do a study through a particular book in the Bible. And so as I was thinking about where I was going to go after the last series, I felt led to 1 and 2 Thessalonians. I've never preached a series on these two books in my time here, so it would be a fresh series for all of us. And eventually, I'm going to preach through every book in the Bible. If I'm here long enough, then we're going to get through them all. And I'm starting to run out of books in the New Testament that I haven't preached through. So I sat back down and I read through these two small books in our Bible, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. And I believe the leading to these two books was more than just a logical deduction of what I haven't done and what I have done. It was pretty amazing when I went to it and read these two books. I was like, wow, this is very relevant to our time right now. The letters that Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica are very applicable to our current situation with craziness and masks and all sorts of stuff. As we catch up on Paul's travels in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 16... we see Paul supernaturally kept from, let me see here, I need to reverse my map here. So he's heading up this way, and he wanted to go back into Asia, up into, can't remember the name of that, starts with an M. But anyway, it's irrelevant today because he didn't get a chance to go there. But he wanted to head this way, he wanted to take a right, but God kept him from doing that. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit inside of him, and he had a vision that they were to go this way, into Macedonia. And so instead of taking a right, they took a left. And so Paul heads up to, what this does is actually turning Paul deeper into Roman territory. I mean, the closer you get this way, the closer you're getting to Rome, and here we go. So he goes, and the first stop they make is the city of Philippi, a Roman city, and while they're there, he is ministering, and they are cited for, I'm going to make the story very, very short there. They are cited for causing a riot, and so they are arrested, they are stripped, they are beaten, they are put in the inner cells, where Luke records that they were caught singing hymns and praying at midnight, which I think is pretty amazing. An earthquake shakes the foundations of the prison, and all their chains come loose, and they're free to go, but they stick around because the jailer is going to kill himself. And so they say, hey, we're all still here. And that opens the door for them not only to share the gospel with this Philippian jailer, but also to share the gospel with his whole family, and they baptized his whole family that evening. The next day they were set free, but they were asked to leave the city. So you're free to go. Emphasis on the word go. Leave. We don't want you here. So they travel on and they arrive in Thessalonica. Thessalonica was a very successful city. It was along a major trade route. It was an important port city, and it was a transportation center. So they had a lot of people in and out. Really a great place to start a church for the idea of it to be spreading the message of the gospel. Not only did they have that going for them, but they were also located, Thessalonica was located near fertile land. So they had the trade routes, they had a lot of activity coming and going through there, but they also had land that produced an abundant agricultural resources for them. So because of that, they were a very profitable, very successful city, metropolis of the old days. Thessalonica had a lot of religious diversity, a lot. They had Greek and pagan religions. They had a lot of emperor worship. As you start getting closer to Rome, they actually worshiped Caesar. And that's why way back in the Gospels, when they asked Jesus if he should pay taxes, that was why that was catching Jesus in a pickle. Because if he said yes, then some people viewed paying taxes as worship to Caesar. So emperor worship was big in Thessalonica. They actually had, and for those of us who were halfway around the world, almost, not quite halfway, but a third of the way. Is that, what? when we were in Egypt, they actually way up in Thessalonica, they had some Egyptian gods, a sanctuary of Egyptian gods in Thessalonica, all the way up there. So very, very diverse in the beliefs and the belief systems. They had enough Jews that were actually that far away from Jerusalem. They had enough Jews to have a Jewish synagogue there. In religion and politics at that time, they were very intertwined. And we claim that they're not in our culture, but that is quickly shifting back to a biblical, what they had in their time and their culture, where the politics and religious beliefs or moral beliefs or principles were very strongly intertwined. And we're seeing more and more of this in our world. And so we connect a lot with Thessalonica, the city atmosphere, the in and outs, the profitable, you know, the abundance. We live in a land of abundance. Diverse beliefs and principles and values surrounding them. Paul shared in the synagogue at least 3 different weeks that we know of. He was probably there longer than 3 weeks, but Luke records that he was sharing on the Sabbath day for 3 different weeks, sharing the gospel of Jesus. He was winning over both God-fearing Gentiles. Maybe they were gentle Gentiles, but thank you, God, that I did not say another word. Woo! I just felt a bead of sweat. Just whoop. I did say gentle, didn't I? Gentiles. I better just keep going. Winning over God-fearing Gentiles and persuading Jews to follow Jesus as the Christ, as the Messiah. But they encountered strong Jewish opposition while they were there, and they started a mob in Thessalonica and caused a riot. Now, not wanting to have a repeat performance of what happened in Philippi, I mean, they were strong in the faith and God released them, but you don't want to go through all of that to get back to the earthquake, the stripped and beaten. So what they did is that evening they slipped away quietly off to Berea. And when they got down to Berea, they had a lot of success with the Jews in Berea. However, the Jews in Thessalonica were so bothered by their message that they followed them to Berea, and they were hostile to them there. And so they flee all the way down. So if my map is this way. So we're up here. Philippi, Thessalonica is right here, And then you come all the way, well, Berea's somewhere around here too. But then they come all the way down to Athens, and they're there for a little bit. I'm in the way of my own map here. So they come all the way down here to Athens to flee from these Jews, and that was far enough. So, and then they come back up to Corinth, and that's where Paul stays for a while. And when we get there, we don't have very far to go in the book of Acts where we get to where Paul actually writes to the church in Thessalonica, which is kind of interesting, interesting little Bible trivia here. The books, First and Second Thessalonians, were the first letters of Paul that he wrote that were recorded in our Bible. Now, if he wrote other letters to other churches before that, he might have done that. But as far as the all of the epistles, all of the letters that we have in our Bible, the very first ones that he wrote in the early 50, like 50, 51, maybe even as early as 49, were right there to First and Second Thessalonians. So that's kind of an interesting little Bible trivia, just in case you're asked about that. In fact, not only were they the first books that Paul wrote, or first letters that Paul wrote that show up in our Bible, they very possibly are the earliest written parts of what became our New Testament, depending on when, I think when James was written and when one of the Gospels was written. But there's not as much clarity on those books, but there's definite clarity on when 1 Thessalonians was written because of the way Paul recorded the book of, or the way Luke recorded the book of Acts. So Paul is writing to a church that he only got a chance to spend a short time there, and he left in the midst of turmoil and aggression and persecution. Social pressure was all around them with the diverse religious beliefs. Temptations to return to their old lifestyle was there. Conflict with Christian brothers and sisters as they were a new church, but you don't have to be a new church to have that, do you? That can happen anywhere. The temptation to give up. The temptation to not endure. Difficult times cause doubt, don't they? When your world is shaken, you start to question things. Struggles and difficult times will wear on you. Does this sound like something we can relate to right now? I think these are going to be really good books to go to during our current situation in 2020. Paul starts off 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. If you want to go there in your Bible, you can. We'll have it up on the screen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. He says, Paul, Silas, and Timothy. So he very clearly states who is writing this. And there's little to no, very little. I guess I should put that challenge on who wrote Thessalonians. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father, and this is where the title of the sermon comes from. We're really going to be focusing in on these three statements he makes here. Your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Shouldn't we all strive to be known for our faith, love, and our hope? Paul's going to continue. We'll be able to read this a little bit later today. But Paul's going to continue and say, hey, I've heard about these things from you guys. I've heard about this. They were known for their faith and their love and their hope. We're so used to hearing that in a different order, aren't we? Faith, hope, and love. We just came from a love series where we talked about that. The greatest of these is love. But here he takes the order of faith, love, and hope. And this was a mistake, so I really apologize. I should have watched the bulletins. After the bulletins were printed, I looked down there and I realized that said to be active in our faith with VD. That doesn't work in your bullet. So let's go to fill that out real quick and get rid of that too. Two little mistakes here. To be active in our faith with visible deeds. Visible deeds. I saw that and I was like, oh no. Not good. Visible deeds. Our faith with visible deeds. To show our love through our physical efforts. To let our hope be seen in our committed endurance. So have faith, love, and hope. To have your labor of love. Oh goodness, my colors change there quite a bit. If you have a moment while I'm talking, you can change all those to white. I don't know what happened. They took on some different formatting. So our labor of love, our faith, rather, work produced by faith, labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. In the verses that follow, we see the inspiration and the activity of the Trinity in these three key elements of who we are in Christ, our faith, our hope, and our love. Paul says, "For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you." We talked about this in our love series, that God loved us first. God chose us. He chose us. He loved us first. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. We love because he loved us first. God chose us. This is the power behind our love, the power behind our physical efforts, our action and our faith to love as God loved. And God's love for us was a labor of love, was it not? God's love was physical, wasn't it? Very physical. Ours should follow the same. Our faith was initiated by accepting the gospel of Jesus. So God inspires our love. The gospel of Jesus is where our faith started, was with the gospel. The core of Christianity, and it should be the core of every Christian life. That's where our faith is. That's where our security is. That's where our future is. That's where our principles come from. That's where our values come from. That's what shapes our worldview. That was what shapes our lifestyle. How we think, the attitude we have, the words that come out of our mouth, the actions that we take with our hands, the places our feet carry us. Every bit of that should be guided by the core in our life, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And our hope. Our hope is encouraged daily by the power of the Holy Spirit. We see the Trinity involved in these three as Paul outlines this very simply for us. He did not only come to live inside of us just to make baptism a special thing, but he comes to reside in us, to live in us, to dwell in us. From that day forward, it's not just hope one day and then, okay, well, now we're just waiting. No, it's daily, a renewal of a daily hope that he gives to us, the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul says, we didn't come to you with just words. None of us would be here if it were just words. None of us. We've all experienced the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Him moving, him speaking, him convicting, that deep conviction that Paul talks about. His activity in our life reassures us of that hope, reminds us of that hope. And if we are open to him, we're listening to him, we're attentive to him, that hope is a daily renewal, a daily dose of hope that the Holy Spirit will provide for us. So God's love is our inspiration to love. The gospel of Jesus Christ is where we have our faith and our hope. Our hope is empowered and reminded to us daily by the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We are imitators of Christ. We follow his example in everything. That's why Paul could say so boldly, even here. We're going to read in just a moment where he's like, follow my example because I follow Christ. Another place he says that in 1 Corinthians, he says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Christ is the example, church. Amen. No matter what's around you, right? No matter what outside forces are pushing in, 2,000 years ago in the church in Thessalonica, or in 2020 right here in Miami Town, in Cincinnati, in Ohio, in America, with all of this craziness around us, the sensitivity over everything, racial sensitivity, I don't even want to go through all the lists there. Everyone's just hypersensitive. And we have all of the COVID stuff and all the politics now are really starting to get stirred up. And oh my goodness, it's time to take a break from Facebook until after November, or even sometime after November, because after November, you're going to have a bunch of people that will be whining and crying on there and threatening to move to Canada or whatever, freshen up on their Spanish to go down south. And it's just crazy times right now. We have all of this around us. We have all of this pushing in on us. Church, let me remind you very simply, as Paul shared with the Thessalonians, Christ is the center of our faith. None of this other stuff. Christ is who we follow. Amen? It's his footsteps that matter. That's all that matters on where you're going to walk. You just put your feet in his footsteps. That's what you do. That's how you live by faith. That's how you walk. You're a follower of Christ. We live out our faith by following Christ. And because of that, our actions, our deeds, reflect who he is. Because who he is who we are. And that's going to become more and more and more important for every one of us to live that way. Because it's going to be harder, it's going to be more difficult. The kids going to school, going back to school, not only do they have the craziness of COVID, but we've got all of the other things that I mentioned that are going to be pushing in on them. And you can only imagine what they're being, the thoughts and the philosophies and the worldviews that are being pushed on our children. Not only through students, but even through staff and faculty of schools that they look up to. I mean, it used to be that the only thing that we had to worry about was them teaching evolution as fact and not mentioning creationism. That's still there, but oh my goodness. You almost pick a subject in school and it's going to be filled with values and principles that completely contradict what we believe in the Bible. It is even more important than I think any of us have ever experienced in our generations for us to walk and follow Christ, because one, it's going to be difficult, but two, the world needs it. The world around us needs to see Christ followers. Our faith should be visible through our actions and our deeds. Our faith produces actions. Our faith produces work. Because our actions and deeds are those of Christ himself. We cannot settle for anything less. For the Thessalonians, they accepted the message of the gospel in the face of persecution. I don't know what the situation was when you first accepted the gospel of Christ, but I can tell you right now, the situation we are all in is a time where I believe that we are on the verge of experiencing persecution. And if not, we definitely have been for a while. It's just been more of a psychological, emotional persecution. A watering down, a filtering out, and dismissing our beliefs and our principles and our values that are God's and come from God's word. And it's not going to get easier for us to hold on to the faith that we have. So whatever it was when you first came to Christ, it is what it is now And I believe it's going to be more and more stirred up, and in a very, very different way than I think the church has ever experienced persecution before. And I don't mean to sound overdramatic about it. We are living in some crazy times. And yes, we might experience persecution that we read about or hear about from India or from Egypt or from Haiti, where our missionaries that we have relationships with are. But I think we're going to experience a type of persecution that's very different. Not one where we're going to have a gun pointed to our head, but one where we're going to be in a crowd of people or in we don't have the water cooler talks anymore because we're not there, but you'll be in a Zoom meeting or on a phone call, and your faith will be questioned. And you'll have a choice to keep peace, to keep that relationship kind of just kosher, or to walk in your faith and be Christ and speak out. Our principles, the kingdom's principles, are being attacked more and more and more. And if it's not us, then who? Who else is going to speak up about the kingdom? Who else is going to share God's perspective on life and God's guidance? It's even more important that our faith is visible, that it's not just words, but it's power. Amen? That it's not just a label that we wear. Hello, I'm a Christian. But it's a lifestyle we live, that it shows up in everything we do, focused on the gospel. That your work is produced by faith. That your labor is prompted by love, that your endurance is inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to take endurance. It's going to take endurance to get through what we have in front of us, church. Then your life becomes an inspiration for all Christians all over. Not just a witness to those who have not yet accepted Christ, but your actions and deeds reflect your faith and serve as an encouragement to other Christians who are experiencing pressures of all sorts as well. That was very important in their time and very important in our time now. As the message of the gospel rings out from each of our lives, our faith in God will show. It will be visible. Take some notes on all the things that I just shared here. Some of you guys might be looking at your bulletin and say, oh my goodness, we're getting really close to 11 and he hasn't even started into these. Actually, I have. I've preached on everything that's there. Let's go on and write that down. I'm doing something a little different today with our notes. I don't know what happened with the formatting here. Thank you so much for sharing that, or switching that around to white. So let's go on and move on. God's labor, intensive love for us inspires the labor of our love. God's labor-intensive love for us, how he loved us, inspires our love for others, inspires how we respond with our love. God had he chose us first. We know that we love because he loved first. That should be the next one. There we go. He chose us. He loved us first. God's love was very physical. I'm going to write that down as well. His love is very physical, so ours should be as well. Not just words, but doing things, acting things out. That our labor is a labor of love. That our labor is inspired by our love. The gospel of Jesus is the core of our faith, our love, our faith. Our actions indeed should reflect the priority of the gospel in our lives. There's nothing else that should be in number one place other than God. And the message of his son, Jesus Christ, coming and giving his life for mankind and raising anew 3 days later from the dead to give us the hope that we have as we experience that in baptism, dying and being raised anew. Our actions indeed should reflect the priority of the gospel in our lives. Christ is the example of our faith. We are imitators of Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. As followers of Christ, we imitate him. We live out our faith by following Christ, by putting our feet in his footprints, right? That's what matters. That would be the next one here. We live out our faith by following Christ, putting our feet in his footprints. As Christians, we are Christ followers. As Christians, we are Christ followers. Our actions and deed of faith are those of Christ. So our love, our faith, and our hope, and the connection of the Trinity to that, that the power of the Holy Spirit gives us hope daily. Hope daily. His conversation with and his conviction on our spirit keeps us focused. His conversation with and conviction on our spirit keeps us focused. That's daily hope. That's hope daily. The joy that is given to us by his Holy Spirit is connected to the hope that he guarantees. We're told a few different times in Scripture that the Holy Spirit is a guarantee of what is to come, that we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. One of the many, I don't have any tattoos yet, but one of the many tattoo ideas I've had is to get an official seal that would have a lot of different things about the Holy Spirit in it. Over my heart, that we're sealed, we are marked, guaranteed by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to go back up to verse 4. And as you look at your notes and look at all the things that you wrote down and reflect on a lot of what we've talked about, all of this comes straight out of Thessalonians. So as I said, I'm doing things kind of backwards today. I want us to end with hearing it all in Scripture as Paul shared with the Thessalonians. So instead of reading it and then breaking it down and taking notes at the same time, we broke it down, took some notes. Now we're going to read where it all came from. So feel free to look at your notes and listen. You can look up at the screen as this will be up there. Paul says, "For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power. With the Holy Spirit and deep conviction, you know how he lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell us how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven who he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming faith. Their labor of love was known everywhere. Their works produced by faith was an inspiration to all, not just those in the surrounding areas, but to all Christians who heard about it. How they endured in the midst of craziness and persecution and pressures outside of them, that gave hope that didn't only speak of their hope to those around them, it spoke of their hope to people everywhere. Let's go and write this down. Our life, did I change that? Our life, that should be life, sorry. Our life of faith, love, and hope becomes an inspiration for our brothers and sisters in Christ, both near and far. It is very important that even on something like this, the simplicity of this topic, faith, love, and hope, that those three things are focus points for us. And it not only shares a witness to those that are around you, but it shares as an inspiration for Christians everywhere. And we are going to need that. Pray with me. Father, thank you for your inspired word that you left. All of these letters and historical documentations of the travels and experiences of the early church, the gospels of your son Jesus. Father, we thank you so much for your Bible that you saw fit to leave for us. Father, I thank you for these books, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. I ask that you would bless our study as we walk through them. Father, we ask that you give us strength, that you help us to live as people of faith and of love and of hope, and that those aren't just words, that those are accompanied by work and labor and deeds and action and endurance. That those three qualities in each and every one of us would be undeniably visible. Father, we need to cling to you in these times because we are in turbulent waters. We are in crazy times. And I feel your spirit speaking to me and the importance of really hitting some of the basics that we can grab a hold of and cling to. Thank you so very much for making our faith in you simple. Give us strength to hang on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.